Now, you've probably heard that there's a well-reported idea that a shark can smell one drop of blood from a quarter of a mile away. Well, to find out whether this is true and how sharks actually sniff out their prey more generally, we're joined by Dr. Jonathan Cox, who is from Bath University, and he's taken a slightly unusual approach to investigating these questions. Hello, Jonathan.
Hi, Chris.
So tell us about your work then. You actually started with a shark in a tank, but it wasn't a live one.
That's right. It was a plastic shark, or rather a shark's head, that we'd made a model of as a result of putting a real shark's head in from the Natural History Museum into a CT scanner and getting the scan data and turning it into a plastic model, which we then stuck into a tank in an engineering department.
So you take the real shark, scan it to get very high resolution ultrastructure of what makes up that head, all of the passages. You can't say bone because obviously they're not bony fish, are they? But so you can see basically the structure, and then you make a model so that you can then do experiments on the model.
That's right, yeah. And we made, as I said, a plastic model, but most of it was opaque, and a little section of it, which comprised the nasal region, was transparent, so we could see into it.
And this means that then you can begin to ask questions very consistently, how does water flow around this when it's moving along? How does water flow along the nasal passages and all that kind of thing, I presume?
That's right, yeah. So in order to do that, we used coloured dye red.
It's very appropriate.
Yeah.
Jaws and so on.
Yeah, that's right. And so we used tiny filaments of red dye and fired them at the transparent nasal region and looked to see what happened.
So you didn't make the head move, you made the water move, because obviously it's the same thing, the water's going to flow the same way whether the head is moving or the water's moving, and then you're tracing where those filaments of dye go.
That's right, it's much easier to make the water move. Getting the head to move is pretty difficult, although it was a hammerhead shark, and the head of a hammerhead shark wobbles from side to side, so the hammerhead sweeps its head from side to side, so it would be nice actually to mimic that motion, and that's a sort of a future experiment.
So hammerheads have their eyes on the ends of the hammers. Do they also have their nostrils there then too?
Yeah, right on the front edge, sort of in the face of the action, as it were. So the eyes are on the sides, and the nasal region is right on the front edge of the head.
So what happens then when a shark out in the open ocean and there was some chemical in the water that it was sniffing down, blood of a prey item, for example. What's actually the process?
Several things happen. First of all, water enters the nasal passages and gets distributed over the large sensory surface area that it's got packed into its nasal chambers, and as a result of getting passed over the sensory surface, gets sensed. But also, weirdly, quite a lot of the water or flow actually passes over the head. And we think that this actually helps, paradoxically, flow to go through the nasal chamber. So it helps the flow through the nasal chamber.
What about the fact that those nostrils are so far apart? Mm-hmm. How does the shark exploit that? I mean, it must have evolved that way for a very good reason. And this presumably does give it an enormous advantage of sniffing down concentration differences.
Yes, well, it's thought that the further apart your two noses are or two nostrils are, then the easier it is to locate the source of a scent. So yeah, that's what it seems to be, but it's not been proven.
So going back to where we started, which was that people say sharks have this extraordinary ability to track down prey over enormous distances, do your experiments bear that out?
Can't say. That's a physiological experiment, which we were not able to do working with a plastic model. But what we were able to do was to show how the flow, in other words, the water carrying the scent, is distributed over the sensory surface area within the nose.
So once it actually goes up the nose, what happens then? Because there's some quite interesting studies done on humans showing that we close off one nostril at one time and have a relatively open nostril, and this changes the rate at which the fluid, air in our case, it'll be water in the shark, obviously flows over the surface that detects things, because some things are more quickly detected by the respiratory, the ciliated surface that does the detecting. So the more water or the more fluid that can go up there and the more odorant, the more you're going to smell, while other chemicals take longer to dock onto the things that smell them. So slowing down the flow a bit is beneficial. Do you see the same thing in these sharks?
Possibly. With the hammerhead, because it sweeps its head from side to side, on one sweep of the head it's going to encounter odoriferous water, in other words, water that's got the odorant molecules in, and the other side, the other nose, as it were, is going to be kind of blocked, to use your terminology, because it's not going to be in the scent, but then it will come back again. So, and also by shaking the head from side to side, it's possible that there's a little bit of agitation of the water inside the nasal cavities and a kind of asymmetric mixing of that water. But yeah, again, that's none of that's proven, but that's something to be looked at.
Something to do another day, perhaps. Jonathan Cox from Bath University, thank you very much.